I want to call your attention to the text for our scripture today. My message is entitled, Why Should Christians Sing? Why should Christians sing? Our text today is found in Psalm 95, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2, and Psalm 98, verses 1 and 2, and Psalm 149, verse 1. Let's look at the text, and I want to see what God might have to say to us from this text today. In Psalm 95, verse 1 and 2, let's look at it carefully together. It says, O come, let us do what? O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with what? Psalms. Look at the Psalm 96, verses 1 and 2. What's the first word in Psalm 96, 1? Sing to the Lord a what? A new song. What's the next word in the psalm? Sing to the Lord, all the earth. What's the first word in verse 2? Sing to the Lord, bless His name, proclaim good tidings of His salvation from how long? Day to day. Psalm 98, verses 1 and 2. Oh, what? Sing. Oh, sing to the Lord a what? For He has what? His right hand and His holy arm have gained the what? The Lord has made known His what? He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a what? And His praise in the congregation of the godly ones. Now let's leave this up here because I want to show you something by way of introduction to the message. As I said just a moment ago, my message is entitled, Why Should Christians Sing? Now in our English vocabulary, how many words do you know for sing? All right, one. Everybody hold your finger up. This is not this little lie of mine today. There's one word for sing. But in the Hebrew language, there are multiple words for sing. Now, what I want to show you is that in Psalm 95, the word for sing in verse 1 is not the same word for sing in 96:1. And the word for sing in Psalm 149:1 is the same as the word for sing in verse 2. But in verse 3 of Psalm 149 is not the same word as any of them. There are different words for sing. And while that's not the focus of my message today, it could be, I want to let you understand that when you look at this text in the English language, you can't fully understand the beauty of the commands that He's given to you, so I'm going to try to help you just a little bit. In Psalm 95:1, the word for sing is rawnah, R-A-W-N-A-H, transliterated for us, and it means to sing out loud. I mean, in Bubba's terminology, it means let it rip. Look at what it says. Oh, come, let us let it rip for the joy to the Lord. Look at he because he's using that word. Look what he says next. Let us what? Shout joyfully. Again, that's the word for let her rip. Let her rip joyfully to the Lord, the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us what? Shout joyfully to Him with what? Psalms. So in Psalm 95:1, the word for sing is the word for let her rip. I mean, just as loudly, just as proudly as you possibly can, make your noise known to Him in psalms, in hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, in Psalm 96:1, it's a different word. This is not the word wrought now for let it rip. This is the word sheer, S-H-U-W-R, but it's pronounced S-H-E-E-R, sheer. And this word here, it means to, the emphasis on it is making a song by strolling along. This is the word that means that as you're going throughout your day, you ought to be singing. You ought to be making melody come out of your heart. As you're thinking about His salvation, as you're thinking about His righteousness, as you're thinking about His victory, as you're thinking about His person, as you're thinking about that. So look at that song, understanding a different word for sing in verse 1. Psalm 96:1 says, as you're strolling along, sing a new song to the Lord. As you're strolling along to the Lord, sing it to the Lord and to all of the earth. As you're strolling along, bless His name with the song that's coming out of your heart. Man, when you are doing that, it is hard to live in your negative circumstances. It is hard to be focused on your problems when you are singing unto the Lord. Well, look at what he says in Psalm 98, verse 1. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, because He has done wonderful things. His right hand and His holy arm have gained the victory for Him. And the Lord has made known His salvation. He has revealed His righteousness in the sight of the nations. And then in Psalm 149:1 says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of His people. But in Psalm 149:3, He uses a different word. He uses a different word for sing. And this is let them praise His name with dancing. Let them sing praises to Him with timbrel and lyre. Now this word in verse 3 for sing is different than let her rip. It's different than as you're strolling along. This is the word that means to sing by using your fingers. Have you ever had a tune in your mind and a tune in your heart, and man, your fingers just want to tap to it? That's what it means by the stringing or the using of your fingers. But it's got the picture more also of signing. As you are singing a song, use your hands. Use your fingers. As you are dancing, as you are praising Him, do this. Now, like I said to you, I could spend the entire time just talking to you about the different ways to sing. That's just the introduction to this. Because the message is simply not how should you sing, though there are many ways that we ought to sing and express our song. But the emphasis of my message today is on the why should Christians, above all people, be singers. Now, one of the problems that we have had developed over the years in our modern Western churches is that we have developed into a false kind of a doctrine that only singers should sing. When you come to church, you expect the singers to sing to you. When you come to church, you expect to hear songs from singers. But nowhere do you see this kind of command in our text today. It doesn't say, let the singers sing for joy. It's saying, let the believers sing for joy. What God is wanting you to grasp and what He's wanting me to grasp is that He's got a song for you. He's got a song for you, and He has done something for you, and He's going to do something for you. And therefore, you ought to learn to let her rip yourself. Therefore, you ought to learn how to sing when you're walking along the way. And therefore, you ought to learn how to use your hands to go along with the song that you've got to say, to play a rhythm on your legs, to play a rhythm on your hands, just to slap yourself silly, making a melody and from your heart to the Lord. Now, why? Why in the world should you sing like that? Why in the world should the people around you that don't believe or know that the God that you know, why should they hear your songs through the day? Why in the world should they hear you making melody come out of your heart? Well, there's three reasons that I want to give you today, and they're not all of them, but these three will do you till Jesus comes. The first reason that we as a Christian, we as a believer, we as a child of God ought to sing is because of our experience of grace. That's why the psalmist could say to you, sing unto the Lord a new song. Because you have had an experience of grace. Man, that grace of God was favor that He rained down on you when, according to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead in your sins and your trespasses. It doesn't say that when you were sick. It doesn't say that when you were lethargic. It doesn't say that when you were gaining in your religious understanding. It said when you were dead in your sins and your trespasses against God. When you were alienated from Him, you had no relationship with Him. When you had no interest in Him, you had no clue for Him, you had no time for Him. When you had been controlled by the lust of your heart, when you were dictated by the prince of the air, when you were as far from God as you could be, God stepped down according to His mercy and He saved you by grace through faith. That's why the psalmist says, you ought to sing. You ought to sing because you have had an experience of God's grace. Now, aren't you glad that you don't have to be on a mountain to have a song? Aren't you glad that you don't have to have everything going your way to have a song that you can sing? See, the devil wants you to think that when you're in a valley, you don't have to sing. The devil wants your body to tell you when you've got pains, you shouldn't sing. The devil wants you to think that because you've had a bad past, because you've got bad problems, because you don't even have a clue how you're going to get out of the mess you're in, you ought not to sing. But beloved, because you've had an experience of grace, you've got reason to sing. Because you who are in Christ Jesus are new creations, you ought to sing. Well, listen to what the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 2. It not only says to you, for by grace have you been saved through faith. It was not of yourselves. It was a gift from God. And it's not according to your works. But then that same apostle said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, if any person be in Christ, that person is a new creation. Now, it gets better. Old things have what? Passed away. Behold, things have become new. Woo! Glory to God. I want to tell you that right there ought to make you sing. That truth right there of the grace of God coming to you, He has taken and given you a brand new start. Now, many of us are tempted, are influenced to live in the past. But God wants you to live in the present. It's the difference between I am or OR. You say, what in the world does that mean? When you spell the word victim and victor, there's only two letters difference. V-I-C-T is the same. I-M or O-R. Are you an I-M Christian or an O-R Christian? The devil wants you to think you are a victim. But God says, behold, I've made things new. All things have passed away. Behold, these things have become new. And therefore, you've had an experience of grace, and you ought to sing. I've had an experience of grace, so I ought to sing. Now, singing doesn't have anything to do with talent. That's for singers. Singing has to do with testimony. Somebody ought to say, thank God. But you see, we've raised a professional church in America. We've raised a professional church that only performers can do a certain thing. I was at one church, and the worship leader said to me, now, How much does the, what's your cutoff weight for singers? I said, what? How much can a person weigh and still sing? I'm looking just the way you were looking. I would look just the way you look there. I said, what are you talking about? Well, the previous administration said that if you was over a certain weight, you couldn't sing. I said, I want somebody who's had an experience of grace. That's who I want to sing. I don't care if we have to knock a wall out to get them in the door. If they've had a testimony of grace, they got a song they can sing. It does me little good. It does me little benefit at all to hear somebody who's never been saved by grace trying to sing about amazing grace. I don't care how many notes they can hit. I don't care how much rhythm they got, how much popularity they got. I want somebody got some God in them because God's on them. I want that kind of person to sing. Singing's not for singers. Singers for believers. And somebody who's got a testimony of grace, they've got a song to sing. Now, this is not denying that life is hard. This is not denying that life has its pits and its pitfalls. This is not denying that there are some times that you can't find light with a light switch. This is not denying that it's a hardship and heartaches and heartbreaks everywhere. But what this is affirming is that God has an amazing grace that's available to you, that's available to me, and it's abundant to you, and it's abundant to me. And sometimes just singing about those great things is going to get you out of the yesterday into the today. Going to get you out of the was into the is, and when you get to the is, it'll get you to the shall be. Aren't you glad that what is not what was? And aren't you glad that what shall be is not even what is? Because God has a future for you and a future for me. You know, history tells us so many stories of how music and songs were used for people in the most oppressive times to communicate hope, to communicate truth, and to pass on truth from generation to generation. I want to sing in church. I want to sing in church because we have an experience of grace. Man, and when Paul said to the Corinthians that therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Man, I praise God for that. That I don't have to live at what I used to be. I'm not even bold enough or crazy enough to say I am what I'm going to be. But I praise God I'm not what I used to be. I thank Him for what I am, and I praise Him for what I'm going to be. Somebody ought to say amen. Amen. Man, when I got saved, I became a new creature. Old things did pass away. Behold, things did become new. I mean, that means when I got saved, I got a new set of eyes. And man, I don't look at the things that I used to look at. When I got saved, I got a new set of ears. I don't listen to the same things I used to listen to because I'm a new creature in Christ. When I got saved, I got some new feet. And man, I don't walk the way I used to walk. When I got saved, I got a new heart. And man, I don't feel the way that I used to feel. I don't love the way that I used to love. I love a new way, and the new way is a better way. I praise God for the new creation in Christ Jesus. How about you? Man, why should you sing? Why should a believer sing? No matter how bad you have it, no matter how oppressive you are, how depressed you are, how suppressed you are, how confessed you are, you ought to sing because you've had an experience of grace. Singers ought not be the ones singing. Believers ought to be the ones who are singing. And that's what I want to raise up with our children and with our students. Man, I want them to be singing believers. I want them to see the worship service as not just the tune-up before the crazy man gets up. I want them to see that this is my way of testifying of my experience of grace. Well, I could go on and on with that, but I'm going to move on to the second one. Christians should sing because of our experience of grace. But Christians ought to sing also because of our expression of gratitude. Because of our expression of gratitude. In Psalm 13:6, it says, I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. And then in Psalm 98:1, it says, Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done wonderful things. Now that ought to put a song on your lips. That ought to put a song in your ears. That ought to put some happy clappy with you. That ought to give you some rhythm even if you don't have it like me. I mean, just play around with it for a while. God will step it up. God will put it in rhythm for you eventually. Just let her rip. Just stroll along with a song coming out of you. Man, just use your hands if you can't use your voice. Just sing unto Jesus a new song as an expression of gratitude. If you don't have anything else, you should have gratitude. The Christian life should be one great big thank you to the Lord. Every day ought to be a thank you to the Lord. Now you're saying, preacher, that's good if you're on a mountaintop. No, I'm talking when you're in the valley. Man, when you're in the valley, when you're in the pit, when you're in the shadow, man, and just thinking that it's just a shadow. He's already overcome it. If you're close to death's door, thinking that you don't live in death, that you've been made alive in Christ, and He's already faced death for you. And if it's bad today, if the devil's on you like no end today, thank God that He's not omniscient. He can't be everywhere and know everything. He can't be messing somebody else the way He's messing with you. Thank Him that He's messing with you instead of messing with somebody else. Learn to be grateful. The story is told as true by a preacher named Robert Fuller. He was walking around and he was having a bad day, having bad thoughts. And he heard somebody singing. I mean, they seemed happy. They were letting her rip. He could hear the voice, but he couldn't see the one singing. And it was so loud, and it was so happy, and it was so fun, it made him and others around take notice to it. And so he said, I'm going to find out where that's coming from. So he moved around, and he pressed around, and he got closer and closer to the voice. And then he looked, and what he saw didn't fit the image he had in his mind. The one who was singing so joyfully, the one who was singing so passionately, the one who was singing so happily was in a wheelchair, and they had no legs. And he was floored by that. His circumstances didn't seem so bad when he saw that. But he said, fella, I'd just like to say something to you. He said, you have blessed me with your songs today, with your singing today. And I think I can speak for everybody around here. You have lightened everybody else's day. How did you learn to sing in the midst of these bad circumstances? And the guy grabbed a hold to him and he said, I'd be glad to tell you. He said, there came a time in my life when I quit focusing on what I'd lost and I began to focus on what I had. Amen. And that day changed my life forever. And today, I've got a song in my life. Man, he was singing as an expression of gratitude for what he had, not denying what he'd lost. But that wasn't his focus any longer. You know, that's the devil. He wants to point out to you what you don't have, and he tries to keep you from focusing on what you do have. Because if we ever find out what we do have, and we begin to be thankful for what we do have, then we'll let her rip. We'll stroll along, even if it's in a wheelchair, and we'll learn to sing with our hands as well. Sometimes we can get sour because we've got to pay taxes. But you could be thankful because you've had a job. Sometimes we could be so ungrateful and complaining because we got high utility bills. But it means you've probably been warm or cool. We could complain and we could become angry or bitter. You know, because we got all this laundry that we got to do. Or we'd be thankful that we got people around that need laundry. Any way, any circumstance you bring, you can get sour or sweetness out of it. It's not living in denial. To become sour and bitter and angry is living in denial. We've got so much more to be thankful for than anybody else. I can tell you assuredly that if you were to go to where Miss Yvette came from, you'd find people that don't have anything compared to what we've got right here. Today, I'm preaching with a nice roof over my head. I'm preaching with a nice set of clothes on. And there's no water running through this thing right here. She told me a story, just break your heart. It'll just break your heart. As they were trying to preach and minister, and the floods came, and the waters rose. But the people stayed. The people stayed. Wasn't a little water going to run them away? They couldn't hear the speaking. It was raining so hard. So what'd they do? Man, we came all this way. We don't want this. No. They began to sing. And they began to sing some more. And they began to sing louder. And pretty soon, who cared if it's raining at all? It was an expression of gratitude because they'd had an experience of grace. But oh, the third one's even better as well. Man, we ought to sing because of our experience of grace. We ought to sing because of our expectation, our expression of gratitude. But we ought to sing because of our expectation of glory. Of glory. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This is good stuff here. Psalm 149, 1 says, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. And praise His name in the congregation of the godly ones. Now, what I didn't have time or space to do is to give you all of Psalm 149. But if you had it and you've got it in your Bible, you ought to read it. Because it is a psalm of anticipation of the coming of the Lord. That's what he's excited about as he's closing out this psalm right here. This is what these are the psalms that were written when the Ark of the Covenant was returned to them. This is a psalm when the tabernacle of David was rebuilt. When you read your psalms in your Bible, all of these psalms came out of the period of when they discovered the presence of the Lord again. And His presence in that box was a reminder to them there's coming a day when the box will be done away with, but the glory will be there forever. That's what they were telling them about. They were singing because of their expectation of glory. Now for you and me today, we have this expectation of glory. The Bible teaches us there's three great truths that go along with this expectation. And the first one is that there one day is going to come a time when there will be a resurrection of the physical body. There's going to be a resurrection of the physical body. Many of you, within the sound of my voice, you have had to walk that long, long valley of the shadow of death. You have had to take the stroll from the funeral home or the church house to the graveyard. You have had to walk that lonely and that cold walk with the shadow of death around you. And you have had to place a loved one in a box and the box in the ground. But you can leave that box, you can leave that ground, you can leave that cemetery still singing a song because you have the expectation of a resurrection of the physical body of that dead one who died in the Lord. If you die before the Lord comes back for you, you can die with the expectation of the glory of the resurrection of your physical body. But I've got good news for you. Your body may be in that ground. Your loved one's body may be in that ground. But that's not them. They're not there. That's just a house that they've been living in. And God said, you can't live in that house anymore. You've got to come on up here with me. But God's going to raise that house up one day. He sure is. And that ought to put a song in your heart. You've got the expectation of glory tied to the resurrection of a physical body. But you've got the expectation of glory not only of a physical body, the resurrection of a physical body, but you've got the expectation, of glory with the rapture of the spiritual bride. You see, you are the bride of Christ. And you may not die a physical death. Your loved ones have died a physical death. But God has a rapture in store. I didn't say a rupture. I said a rapture. What is this thing about the rapture? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will" what?
Rise.
"They will rise first." There's another slide. Let's go on and show them that. He says in 1 Thessalonians 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest of us. For if we believe that Jesus died and" what?
Rose again.
"Even so God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive" and what? "Until" when? "The coming of the Lord will not precede those who have" what? "For the Lord Himself will descend" from where? "With a" what? "With the voice of" who? "And with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ might rise first." Is that what that says? The dead in Christ will rise first. Look at the verse 17. What's the first word in verse 17?
Then.
Then is after that. All right? That is going to happen, and then this is going to happen next. Then we who are alive and what?
Amen.
Shall be what?
Amen.
All right, let's stop with caught up right there, all right? Shall be caught up. That word caught up is the concept of what we're talking to you about, this word rapture. Rapture. While the word rapture is not used in the Bible, the terms to describe it are everywhere in the Bible. This word rapture, this word that we use for this, is used for us, and it means to catch away speedily. It means that there's going to come a time faster than you can blink your eye. Go ahead and blink your eye 3 times right now. Did you do it by faith? I believe you did. Faster than you can do that one time, this catching away is going to take place. In the moment, the Apostle Paul says, in the twinkling of an eye. Faster than your eye can respond to light. That's how soon this is going to take place. Let me show you an example of this being caught away. In Acts chapter 8, verse 39, do you remember old Philip the evangelist? He'd been talking to the Ethiopian eunuch about Jesus. It began to make sense to him. He began to believe that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He put his faith and trust in the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus. And then he believed that, and he wanted to know, hey, he said, "You've been talking to me about being baptized." He said, "What does hinder me from being baptized?" He said, "There's some water right here." He said, "If you believe with all your heart, you're ready to be baptized." And so what he did was then, he said, "Well, here's a great body of water." And so they both went down in that water. And then listen to what it says in Acts chapter 8, verse 39. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch no longer saw him. Do you know what's going to happen when the Lord descends from heaven? Do you know what's going to happen when He shouts with that great shout and the trumpet of God sounds and the voice of the archangel says, "Come up here"? Man, when He says that, you, the bride of Christ, me, the bride of Christ, you're going to be snatched out of here. I'm looking forward to that. God, I want to go in the first load. I don't mind dying. I don't mind death. Death's not my enemy. Death has been defeated. It's a defeated foe. But you know, I would really love to be snatched out of here. And that snatching away is going to come. That rapture of the church, to be caught away speedily, is what that means. I want it to be kind of like old Philip was. Man, he had just baptized his new friend in Christ. He came up out of the water, and he didn't even have time to say, "I'm out of here." He was out of there. And the eunuch said, "Man, where'd he go? Woo! Beam me up, Scotty." He was gone. It means to catch away speedily. Man, you're going to be out of here quicker than you can blink your eye. And man, that's why you ought to sing. There's another term that I want to show to you. It means to seize you by force. In John chapter 6, verse 15, "So Jesus, perceiving that they were intending to take Him by force, to make Him king, withdrew again to the mountain by Himself alone." There's some people that get so attached to the world and the things of this world that it's not so much going to be the catching away of you speedily as God's going to have to come and take you out of here by force. You ought not to be so attached to this world that you're going to have to be forced out of here. But God can force you if it's time to force you. There's a third term that describes it so wonderfully. Oh, I like this one. It means to move to a new place. Woo! In 2 Corinthians 12:3, Paul's talking about an experience he had of grace with God. He says, I know a man, and I don't know if it was in the body or out of the body. He said, somebody else have to figure that out for us, but God knows. This man, such a man, was caught up to the third heaven. And I do not know how such a man was caught up into paradise. All I know is I was here and then I was there, just like that. That phrase caught up is the same word that God's going to use for you and me. One day God's going to catch you up speedily, moving you by force if necessary, to a brand new place, a place you've never been before, a place He's been preparing for you. And man, I ought to put a song in your heart. There's a fourth term that means to rescue from danger. To rescue from danger. In Acts chapter 23, verse 10, he says, go down and take them away by force. God has made a promise to you and God's made a promise to me that you will not have to go through the hour of tribulation. It's not prepared for you. And so when the right time comes, and keep your eye on the Middle East, it's coming quicker and quicker. When the right time comes, God's going to descend from heaven with a shout. And with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God's going to sound. And we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together, snatched away speedily. Amen. And there we'll be with the Lord forever. Now look at what he says in verse 18. Therefore, do what? Comfort one another with what? These words ought to bring comfort to you. And man, when you've been comforted, no matter how bad your problems are, no matter how difficult your hardships have become, you can still sing. You can let her rip. You can stroll along and bless His name as you're going. You can even use your hands to sing a song, to make a melody, to make a rhythm, to make a noise of triumph to the Lord. But there's a third thing that I want to show you. Especially if you're not very comforted in this season that you're living in. Do you realize in Ephesians chapter 5 that one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is singing? It's singing because of your experience with grace, singing because of your expression of gratitude, singing because of your expectation of glory. But sometimes life, hardships, difficulties, problems try to steal your song. Now I want you to evaluate, have you lost your song? Have you lost your song? Listen, so then, do not get drunk with wine, because that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, I think we've got another text there. Verse 19, speaking to one another in what? And hymns and what? What's the next word? Singing and making melody with your heart. To whom? To the Lord. Does that characterize you? This morning, November the 11th, 2008, does that characterize your life? Is that what's coming out of your lips? Is that what's coming out of your heart? You know the old expression, what comes up in the bucket has come out of the well. If you've lost your song, let me tell you how to get it back. Would you like to be able to get it back? And would you like to be able to move from was to is toward shall be? Those are the three stages of life. Everybody's got a was. And right now, if you're breathing, you've got an is. And if you've got an is, you've got a shall be. that's better than your is or your was. And that ought to make you sing in and of itself. But what if you're not speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart? Well, if this is one of the main characteristics of somebody who's been filled with the Spirit, guess what? You may not be filled with the Spirit. You're filled with something, but you're not filled with the Spirit. And what I'd like for you to do is just ask the Lord if you are filled with the Spirit. And you say, some of you say, I don't have to ask the Lord. I know I'm not. But would you like to be? Here are four things that I want you to write down that will help you walk through a simple process of being filled with the Spirit right where you're at, right here and now. The first one is you're going to have to repent. The reason that you're not filled with the Spirit is because you've leaked. And the reason you've leaked is probably because you've sinned. Sin is the instant unfiller. You know how to get filled up. Do you know how to get empty? Just sin without confessing. So you've got to repent. If you've lost your song, that's a part of your repentance. Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me. I ask you to forgive me for losing my song. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my lust, for my alcoholism. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for pornography. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for the drugs. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for my anger. Lord, I ask you to forgive me for. What do you need forgiveness for? You've got to repent. As you're repenting, you've got to request. You've got to request to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you've repented, you request, but you can also renounce. You can renounce the works of your flesh. You can renounce the works of darkness. You can renounce your participation in whatever was evil or wrong. And then the fourth one, you request, you renounce, you repent, then you receive. Then you receive. Being filled with the Spirit is the same process as being saved by grace. When you got saved by grace, it was through faith and not of yourselves. It was the gift of God. And when you get filled with the Spirit, you repent, you renounce, you request, then you receive it by faith. And when you're receiving it by faith, God's giving it to you through grace. You can do that right where you're at. You can come and make an altar right down here. But there are very few days that I go through that I don't ask God to fill me with His Spirit. Do you know why? Because I need it. I need it. There are very few things that you'll ever deal with that won't communicate to you clearly that you need to be filled with the Spirit to be able to do it. And I would go a step further to say there's nothing that you should try to do without being filled with the Spirit. And boy, it sure does make the doing of it a whole lot easier. If you've got a mountain to climb, climb it being filled with the Spirit. If you've got a valley to go through it filled with the Spirit. If you've got an enemy to face, face it being filled with the Spirit. If you've got a message to proclaim, proclaim it being filled with the Spirit. And if you've got a song to sing, sing it as an overflow of being filled with the Spirit. So here's what I want you to do. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, I want you to ask Him. And as you're asking Him to fill you with the Spirit, a song's probably going to begin rising up in your heart. When we sing the songs, I want you to let her rip. As you go through your day, I want you to stroll along singing your song. And if you've got a tap that you just got to work out, just tap it out in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. David's going to come. He's going to prepare us for the next set of songs that we can sing to the Lord. I reversed this up because I wanted you to understand today why a Christian should sing. Didn't have anything to do with how bad a day you're having, how much pain you're in, how big your problems are, how hopeless your circumstances seem. If you've had an experience of grace, let it be an expression of your gratitude. Because of your expectation of glory, it'll carry you through. If you need to be filled with the Spirit, repent of any known sin that you've never confessed or repented of before this day. If you participated in something that's unholy, that's evil, that was wrong, renounce it in Jesus' name. If you're not filled with the Spirit as you're sitting there, then request it. And as you're requesting it, receive it by faith. Father, we come to You and we confess to You that we have tried to go through too much of this day already without a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask You to forgive us for trusting in our own strength and our own wisdom of our own ways. Lord, we renounce the works of our flesh, the energy of our own strength, and the things that we participated in that are unholy or unhealthy. And right now, Father, we request for You to fill us with Your Holy Spirit. And Father, right now, we receive a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit by grace through faith. Lord, manifest Your presence through us the way You describe it in Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.